Our first scripture reading of the morning is from the New Testament, from the book of Colossians. I invite you to follow along as I read a very short passage from the Apostle Paul, Colossians 3, verses 1 through 4. I invite you to follow along on the screen. Paul writing says this, "So, if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory." And friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Brad Paisley sings the 2005 song, "When I Get Where I'm Going." And so I invite you to listen to the music.
When I get where I'm going, on the far side of the sky, the first thing that I'm gonna do is spread my wings and fly. I'm gonna land beside a lion, run my fingers through his mane, or I might find out what it's like to ride a drop of rain. Yeah, when I get where I'm going, there'll be only happy tears. I will shed the sins and struggles I have carried all these years, and I'll leave my heart wide open. I will love and have no fear. Yeah, when I get where I'm going, don't cry for me down here. I'm gonna walk with my granddaddy, and he'll match me step for step. And I'll tell him how I've missed him every minute since he left. And then I'll hug his neck. Yeah, when I get where I'm going, there'll be only happy tears. I will shed the sins and struggles I have carried all these years, and I'll leave my heart wide open. I see my Maker's face, I'll stand forever in the light of His amazing grace. Yeah, when I get where I'm going, oh, when I get where I'm going, there'll be only happy tears. I will love and have no fear.
In case you're wondering, the other voice in that song was that of Dolly Parton. But did you hear how the song ends? Yeah, when I get to where I'm going, oh, when I get where I'm going, There'll be only happy tears. Hallelujah. I will love and have no fear when I get where I'm going. Yeah, when I get to where I'm going. I'm using this song this morning as an introduction on the Bible's teaching on heaven in the New Testament. You know, we come to the end of life and we're tempted to say, well, that was really great. But then this song reminds us that the best has not been. It is not even right now, but the best is yet to come when I get to where I'm going. Today, I want to speak to you for just a few minutes on the subject of heaven. And so please join me as we sneak a peek at the back of the book and take a look at the book of Revelation. I'm going to be reading from Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 4, and then I'll be reading verses 22 through 27. I have a feeling those words may not be on the screen, so you might just have to listen to this portion of God's word. John on the island of Patmos says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them as their God. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away.'" And then continuing on down to verse 22, John says, "I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God is its light, and its lamp is the Lamb. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. Its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. People will bring into it the glory and the honor of the nations, but nothing unclean will enter it, nor anyone who practices abomination or falsehood, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life." And friends, this too is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. One of the things that's interesting to me is that for all the nice things that people are always saying about heaven, I actually know of very few people who are looking forward to going there anytime soon. Ever listen to how we sound when we say the Lord's Prayer during the worship service? We always start out like gangbusters. "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." But then we kind of run out of gas in the middle when we're talking about debts and debtors, so that by the end, our voice just sort of trails off. "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." That should be the climax. That should be the crescendo. "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Amen." I think the problem is that our mental pictures of heaven are distorted and off base, so that we would rather spend a weekend watching cornhole on ESPN. What comes to your mind when I say the word heaven? Pearly gates? Glittering crowns, 24-karat gold pavement, a place where your golf ball always lies in green pastures and never in still waters. One New Yorker magazine cartoon shows heaven as a place up in the clouds where bald-headed businessmen with wings and harps are still receiving emails. One time, and this is a while back, I was having a conversation about heaven with my children, And I was telling my son Tim about the wonderful place that heaven is in us offering our praise and adoration to Jesus Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And at one point, he looked at me incredulously and said, "You mean heaven's going to be one long worship service?" Let me tell you, he was less than thrilled. Well, maybe the reason our heart doesn't race or our pulse pound a bit faster is because we have no idea what is out there waiting for us. Listen to what the 19th century preacher Charles Spurgeon wrote. "Christian, meditate much on heaven. It will help thee to press on and to forget the toil of the way. This vale of tears is but the pathway to the better country. This world of woe is but a stepping stone to a world of bliss." Sounds pretty amazing, doesn't it? Well, somehow we have lowballed what God has intended to be the sizzle and sparkle of the Christian life, and that is the hope of heaven. And so we should nod our heads in agreement with the Apostle Paul in those words that I read earlier from Colossians, when he says, "Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above." And in a year when you may have lost a family member or a friend or a loved one, and you are still feeling the sting of that parting, we set our hearts on things above. And we look forward with joy and laughter to a glad reunion with them someday, when I get where I'm going. Revelation 21 explodes the myths that we have about heaven as we get a sneak preview of its awesome splendor. And you get the impression that if you doze off, even if for just a few minutes, you're going to miss out on some awfully exciting things. After all, what is heaven? It says the holy city. "And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God." It's a place with all of the good things. Fine dining at restaurants, museums, the theater, and educational institutions where great minds are uncovering the wonders of God's world. And there aren't any bad things. There's no crime. There's no drugs. There's no traffic. Ever wonder, why do you love living here? Why do so many people come from somewhere else to retire here? Why do so many people visit here? Because it feels like home, and there are places to go and people to see and things to do. Heaven is going to be like that, only the police stations will have been turned into candy stores, and hospitals will have been torn down to make room for more parks. The Bible says that there will be a blossoming of multi-ethnic cultures in heaven. In verse 26, it says, "People will bring into it the glory and the honor of the nations." The picture that I get in my mind is of the recent Olympic Games in Paris, as the flags were flying, as all the Olympic athletes paraded in together. The glory and honor of the nations. And maybe there will be Olympics in heaven, along with art and music and dance, other sports, and science, and technology, and theology. Our gifts will flourish unbound by the restraints of sin and death holding us back. Someday, we may be listening to music that is so beautiful, like a Beethoven symphony, that it'll make it seem like that is chopsticks being played on the piano. Someday, we may be looking at a painting that is so dazzling that it will make a Rembrandt original look like spray-painted graffiti. Someday, we may hitch a ride on a comet to some distant galaxy that will make a ride on Elon Musk's SpaceX shuttle look like just stepping into the next room. That is the future that God has prepared for those who love him. Now that, of course, leaves a couple of big questions. Will we know people? Someone once said the two most often asked questions in heaven are going to be, where's so-and-so and what are you doing here? But I know, because I've talked to many of you as we had our class on heaven during the Sunday school hour this summer, that many want to know, will I recognize and know people in heaven who went before me, a spouse, a parent, a child, those who were important to me in my life? Well, here's what I do know. Someday we're going to get our friends back. Someday we're going to get our loved ones back. Someday the world will know that Easter was just a preview. Now, another subject of concern is, will I see my pet in heaven? The great theologian Thomas Aquinas said, it is irrational prejudice to allow plants and flowers into heaven and not allow animals. If you are a pet lover, I have a scripture for you. It's Psalm 36:6. Your righteousness is like the mighty mountains. Your judgments are like the great deep. You save humans and animals alike, O Lord. Well, that sounds pretty promising for pet owners, doesn't it? The Christian writer C.S. Lewis also adds, pets get saved as part of the extended family of their owners. Well, no one really knows for sure. We're going to have to wait and see. And of course, the best part is that God is there. Heaven is where God is. You know, in this sanctuary, we sense the presence of God, but sometimes it's like a cell phone connection, especially when we're driving on 272 heading towards the Buck, and there's this dead spot where the reception just fades out. And one minute we're saying, oh God, I feel so close to you. And the next minute it's like, can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Well, in heaven, the intimacy of our fellowship with God is going to be so complete that you and I will never, ever have to attend church again. Revelation chapter 21, verse 22 says, I saw no temple in the city because its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty. Here on Sunday mornings, we get a little slice of heaven. But when you get to where you're going, you're going to get the whole pie. The Bible says we will be like a bride adorned for her husband. We're going to walk down the center aisle of the cosmos into the waiting arms of our groom as we will meet our Savior face to face. Is there any better feeling, really, than to look up into the face of the Father and hear him say, attaboy, John. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master. You know, I think many of us spend our lives trying to win the approval of other people, but in the end, the only thing that's going to really matter is the approval of God in heaven. One day, our Heavenly Father will smile a smile upon your life and say, well done. You have been so faithful. I love the Family Circus cartoon. It's on the screen. If you can read it, it says, heaven is a great big hug that lasts forever. You say, well, John, when does this all begin? It begins the moment we die. Jesus said to the thief on the cross, today, you'll be with me in paradise. He said to his disciples, I go to prepare a place for you. And I will come again and take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. The Apostle Paul said, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. The very one who meets us at the end of life is the one whom we have known in the middle of life. And if we know him now, he promises to meet us at the end. And our communion with Jesus Christ continues unbroken from this life into the next. Princeton Seminary did not give me a crystal ball when I graduated in May of 1992. So I don't know exactly what the future holds, but I do know who holds the future. And the truth is this: God is in control, and all of our lives are in his loving hands, not just now, but for forevermore. Here's what I do know. None of us are going to get into heaven because we're good. None of us are going to get into heaven because we've worked really hard in our jobs. We're not even going to get into heaven because we showed up here on so many Sunday mornings. We will go to heaven because we accept Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, and accept his sacrificial death on the cross as full payment for our sins. Our future is bright. Our future is secure. The promises of God are true, and we will all celebrate someday when we get to where we're going. Would you join me in prayer? Let us pray. Lord God, we often speak of the vice president as being just a heartbeat from the presidency. Well, in the same way, we are only a heartbeat from eternity. We thank you for the powerful word that you give us, not to fear, but to live and even die in hope and with eager anticipation of what is to come. How we thank you for our anticipation of a great reunion party that you are planning for us in heaven. The hugs and the kisses, the wiping away of every tear from our eyes, and of course, to be with you. We thank you for this sneak preview, a glimpse that you give us in your word about the hope of heaven. In light of your promise, give us the faith to believe in this even greater joy that is to come, and that you have promised for all who believe in you. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray and live. Amen.